Now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So every year, this is how our Lenten journey begins, with a smudge. And most of the world will never recognize the power of that smudge. A token few will bear this mark as we leave this place, maybe to Kroger to pick up a few things before the evening is out, maybe to grab a late dinner, maybe to see if the trees have fallen in our yard for the wind. We may see others with the smudge, and we'll share subtle glances or knowing nods, acknowledging the burdens that we bear for these 40 days of Lent yet to come, and also acknowledging even more the burdens that we don't bear because Christ has borne them for us. But many others will look at us with confusion. A few years ago after Ash Wednesday, I met somebody, and it had gone to a midday service, and this person just stared at my forehead the whole time we were talking. Didn't ask a question, right? Just, it was as though aliens with 12 arms had appeared on the noggin. So finally, unbeckoned, I said it was a religious ritual of repentance and commitment to change. But you'd have thought that burnt piece of palm was just otherworldly. Still others, even though they see them, won't actually see them at all. It'll be investment in our devices or too concerned with putting out the fires in our lives, whether those are real fires or more often the fires of bills and sports for children and deadlines for work, that we don't recognize the way that God is bringing new life through the ashes of those fires. I think this smudge is pretty fitting for our Lenten journey because we come to Lent because of the smudge of sin on our lives. And of course, most of the world doesn't recognize the smudge of sin or that power either. Many around us minimize the role of sin or deny its existence altogether. And I would say that anytime you deny climate change or systemic injustice for women or racial minorities or the LGBT community, the problems of inequality with any of our systems of finance or governance, you're not recognizing the power of sin in our world. You're denying its existence and therefore denying God the power to deliver us. But none of this, whether the sin in our own lives or a sin in our society, is natural to us as we are created. Like the ashen cross that will soon don our foreheads, sin's mark also appears as a kind of abnormal tattoo on the bodies that God has given us. After all, neither sin nor ashes are our birthmarks. We certainly are dust, and to dust we shall return. But what's permanent is what God promises to do with the dust, to hold us close and to bring new life, to breathe new life into the dust. Something to remember, though, I think that reading from Matthew might have inspired this thought, but just in case you wondered if Lent was about you, it's not. Our Lenten journey is not ultimately for us or even about us. It's about God, and it's for the world. Now, of course, through these 40 days of repentance, of reflection, of renewal, we should experience change, but that change is meant for someone other than ourselves. It's meant to transform the world beyond ourselves. It's not a self-congratulatory, isolated incident. Instead, the smudge of these ashes is meant to nudge us toward our neighbors. I just said that because the rhyme was nice, because in fact, these ashes are meant to thrust us into a world that needs the breath of God breathed into the ashes. But to become these change agents, we must first experience change ourselves. We must allow God's transformation to take hold in our lives. So when we take seriously the reflective practices of Lent, deepening our prayer lives. More frequently, dare I suggest, daily engagements with Scripture. More active in service to others, and yes, fasting, whether from food or other things, abstaining from certain things in our lives, we come to see that Lent is a season of purposeful reflection and repentance, a purpose defined by God as the redemption and reunification of everything that is in Christ Jesus. Only takes 40 days, apparently, to reconcile the entire world, so good to know. In other words, God wants to get the band back together. One of the ways that we mark this is through taking on a Lenten discipline, whether, as I said, fasting from something or taking on a new habit. We often fast from food, or I've heard of people fasting from swearing. Sometimes people take on a different prayer style to learn or a new devotional habit to try. Though these things most often change after Easter, right? You give up coffee and coffee reappears on Easter Sunday with vigor. The same thing is true, I think, for chocolate or probably swearing too, if we're all that honest about that. One of my colleagues named Sarah Taylor, though, a Lutheran pastor elsewhere in our church, pointed out this, what I think is really powerful about fasting. She said, fasting is like a hunger strike. Not just in the fact that you're abstaining from food, but because it's a form of protest. It's refusing to do something or changing something in our public behavior as a sign of protest against sin. Protesting sin's work in our world. Publicly declaring that we want a new reality, that we are hoping and we are betting a new reality to appear through God's work. Fasting can be a sign of protest. Blew my mind. Tonight, it may be that many of you have already chosen a Lenten discipline, while if you were like me before I was a pastor, you might still be scrambling for something to do, or if you were like me before I was a pastor in other years, like, oh yeah, I should do something. That's a good idea. Let me share with you something that Michelle came up with that I think is worth all of us at least considering, something that I see as a sign of protest against the kind of consumerism that demands our attention and draws our allegiance away from God. Michelle's idea was to foster a more lasting change by giving away something every single day of Lent. We all have stuff, and I'm guessing most of us have a plethora of stuff. Not just the holy sock kind of stuff that we should just throw in the garbage can, but good stuff that we never, maybe ever, have used. Or that we used once back in 1977, and then now it's time to say goodbye. We've got so much stuff in our lives that actually calls for our attention that it distracts us from hearing God's voice. So I'd like to challenge everyone to consider this cleansing in your lives. Because not only do you protest the authority that it has to say that you, silly piece of furniture, don't own me, I own you, and I can do whatever I want with you, including giving you away to somebody else, but we actually have a lasting change beyond Easter Sunday. We're rid of something that once claimed power in our lives, however great or small. That's why these bins are up here, actually, to collect for us these things. Now, as the scriptures say, you're giving in secret. So I suggest you put these in Kroger bags or something that I don't need to know what it is, the stories behind what you've decided to give away. But this is a way for us to see a visual image of our shared pilgrimage in Lent. Because you see, not only are we dust, and will we return to dust, but all of the stuff that's in our houses will one day also be pummeled into grit like the ashes that are in this bowl. But God's not going to breathe new life into the place settings from our grandparents or the nearly forgotten sporting goods that are somewhere in the second garage that take up space. No antiques or guns, no themed t-shirts or Xbox Ones, no technology, no clothes, no toys, no appliances, nothing in our closets or basements or garages or storage units or crawl spaces, nothing that we own can save us. And yet all of it clamors for our attention. Even though we often feel like life would somehow be incomplete without it, right? Why else would it still be hidden in that dark corner that we haven't entered in our home? But even beyond our own Lenten discipline, because remember, Lent is not even for us or about us, there are people who could benefit from these things because they have actual needs that we don't. There are people that on the other side of our Lenten disciplines could feel the breath of God coming into the ashes of their lives because we have given those ashes away. So let's be clear that this is not just sprucing up our lives of broken televisions that should have gone away with the Reagan administration. We're talking about giving away things that have value, but that we've given too much value to. Giving away things that have use, but that we, for some reason, are afraid to do without. In someone else's hands, they could serve a better purpose, a life-giving purpose. They could be a sign of God's breath. So we're not throwing away junk. We're fasting from things that we don't need so that they might fill a need in someone else's life. For me, it's important for pastors to lead the way sometimes, I think. So I'm starting with this silly pizza stone. It's perfectly fine. I got it for a great deal on Groupon when we lived in Durham. And to my recollection, since that time in 2012, we've used it once. We've moved it from Durham, North Carolina to Columbia, South Carolina to Radford, Virginia for no good reason. And yet every time Michelle says, get rid of that thing. I'm like, well, we could maybe one day it might be useful. It's not useful. It's not helpful. It's just something that I don't need and that I'm letting get in the way. It may not seem like much, right? A pizza stone, something of your collection of t-shirts. But if every day during Lent we can detach ourselves from one thing, one of those pizza stones in our lives, we can come more closely into contact with Christ. The spaces that are left by those idols, not the physical space in my pantry, but the mental and emotional space that I am free now from that thing that I for some reason didn't want to do without, can now be filled with more of God. Even more so by giving away good things to people who can use them, we move idolatry away and compassion closer to sharing the things that we have with those who have greater needs than us. All the stuff is going to turn to dust anyway. Why are we so attached to it? However you decide to practice your piety this Lent, remember, as Paul says, that we are each sent as ambassadors with ashes. Not ambassadors for ashes, not ambassadors of ashes, but as ambassadors with ashes. Ashes aren't the point of tonight's worship, but ashes point to the deep reality that without God, everything would turn to rubble and there would be no hope for restoration. Ashes, then, are a sign of our penitence, of our need for God, and of what the world would be without God. Without God, we would return to the dust and have no reason to expect resurrection. So when we've become too tied to our stuff, or food, or money, or sex, or power, or anything, we're worshiping stuff that's ultimately ashes. But for all that God created, there is powerful good news in this season of Lent. The ashes of these bodies, God will once again draw together out of the clay, hold close, breathe the Holy Spirit into them, and bring new life on the other side of the ashes. Amen.